Welcome to Quest for Gold. We are 119 days away from the opening ceremonies of the Winter Olympics in Italy. I'm Ryan Burrow. This week we learned from the president of the Italian Olympic Committee that the host country plans to have four flag bearers at the opening ceremonies. Two will be at San Siro Soccer Stadium in Milan. There will also be two flag bearers at a smaller event in Cortina. And there will be two cauldrons, one in each city. This is actually the second time a cauldron is in Cortina. Alpine Village hosted the 1956 Winter Games. The Olympic flame will be lit in Greece November 26th, then it will begin its trek to Italy, arriving in Rome December 4th. While Russia will be suspended for the Winter Olympics, the International Paralympic Committee has decided to lift Russia and Belarus's team bans for the Paralympics, which will be held in March. Russia and Belarus were banned from international sporting events after Russia's invasion of Ukraine in 2022. Italy's foreign minister announced this week he's going to submit a proposal to the United Nations for a worldwide ceasefire ahead of the Winter Games. Rarely are calls for global ceasefires by Olympic organizers actually acted on, but a global truce is typically in place during Olympic dates dating back to ancient Greece. In Summer Olympics news, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says the NFL plans to launch women's and men's professional flag football leagues in the next couple years, ahead of the sport's Olympic debut at the Los Angeles Games in 2028. Several NFL players have expressed interest in competing for gold in 2028. Well, the NHL season got underway this week, and for the first time in 12 years, NHL players will be eligible to play in the Winter Olympics. So this week, we're talking hockey. We're joined by Joe Brand, the play-by-play broadcaster for the Pittsburgh Penguins radio broadcast. Joe used to work here at WGN Radio, and ever since he left, we put his picture in the penalty box. Joe, thanks for jumping on.
I remember being on the outside of the glass and seeing you do all these interviews all the time, and I was like, man, to only be Ryan Burrow or just a fly on that wall, and I can't believe I'm on the other end of it right now.
There you go. Well, a fun fact, actually, you have been on a podcast before for Quest for Gold because you and I both talked to Mike Socia.
That's true.
Baseball. Yes. When Team USA was preparing for that. So you are by no means a rookie, and no, truthfully, you know a lot more about the NHL than I do and hockey, and so you will be a wealth of information. I want to start. Gary Bettman spoke yesterday. You were a little busy yesterday. You had a game. First of all, how did your Pens do?
Opening night against the New York Rangers and a 3-0 shutout win. A lot of drama. Mike Sullivan, his first game behind the bench for the New York Rangers after 10 years with the Penguins. Dan Muse making his debut as the Penguins head coach. He was formerly of the Rangers coaching staff last year. But yeah, it was quite an opening night. 3-0 victory in Madison Square Garden. Can't beat it.
Yeah. What's it like being in Madison Square Garden?
It's pretty cool. I got to do it twice last year. But opening night, you know, middle of fall, New York City, walking to the garden for work. It's got a different element to it. It's pretty cool. Good vibe in the building yesterday. Maybe not so much at the end of the game, but fun environment for sure.
So one of the other games that was on the slate was Blackhawks Panthers, and the NHL commissioner, Gary Bettman, was at that game, and he did speak a little bit to the media beforehand, and he was asked about the Olympics, and he essentially said it's going to be good for the sport. He seemed to be a little timid as to allowing these multi-million-dollar players and the stars of his league to go off and break up his season for 3 weeks. What's the general vibe that you're getting? We'll start maybe from the management aspect about this. Are they hesitant? Are the Penguins management, are they a little nervous about sending potentially some of their players off to Italy for 3 weeks?
I would assume that management is probably hesitant, but they understand that this is kind of the drill right now. You don't want to not deny the opportunity for a player to represent their country because it means so much to the players and it means so much to the fans. And Gary Bettman's right. It does mean a lot to the sport. Unfortunately, the only downside there is to be had for anyone here are the NHL teams, front office, management, owners, because their players are okay, for lack of a better phrase, being put in some jeopardy by playing in a tournament that means nothing for the NHL. But everyone else seems to really thoroughly enjoy it. It helps grow the sport. And honestly, and if we're talking specifically about the Penguins, it provides some high intense competition for guys like Sidney Crosby that are maybe going into a year where the Penguins aren't quite going to be a Stanley Cup contender. But it allows a guy like Sidney Crosby in his 21st season in the NHL to still quench that thirst of playing some high quality, high competition hockey. And he was very vocal about that benefiting him last year when he competed in the Four Nations.
It's been 12 years since NHL players competed in the Olympics, and just a couple weeks ago, I was able to ask the president of the Korean Olympic Committee about this, and he's been a part of the IOC, and he thinks it's going to be great for the sport, obviously. Now, Korea is a little different than the United States. I don't believe they're going to be sending a team, but I think he was very anxious to see this world-class talent come together for the Olympics in Italy.
Well, I mean, you look at what the Olympics are, right? They're all these young, very talented athletes who work their entire lives to get to this stage and get to this moment. But let's face it, everyone who's tuned into the Olympics are probably hearing of these athletes for the first time, or maybe, the first time in the past couple of years. When you bring the sport of hockey into it, you're talking about NHL players that fan bases are already obsessed with and already have their jerseys and are already excited to be rooting for or even rooting against them. And I think that's why it was so profitable in 2010, because there was this amazing matchup between Team USA and Team Canada for the gold medal game. Oh, by the way, it was in Canada, so the Canadians were able to go crazy when Sidney Crosby scores the golden goal. But that was just great drama on TV. The Americans tied it in the final minute. They forced overtime, and all the theatrics set for the captain of Canada, Sidney Crosby, to finish off the game. And it's great television. It's great sports. I think everyone would be very excited if it ends up being Team Canada against USA again for the gold medal, but you can't script these things. That kind of defeats the purpose of, the beauty of sports, making things happen just by happenstance. But it's a very good shot that could happen again here this year.
All right, you've mentioned him a few times. What's going on with Sidney Crosby? Because he seems as though this is something he'd want to do. Obviously, I mean, are we talking sunset of his career at this point? I mean, would this be kind of a last stand, if you will?
He's going to be the captain once again. He's got 2 more years left on his Penguins contract, so it's not quite right off into the sunset just yet. It's funny because now here being in the Pittsburgh media, you hear a lot of people asking, is Sidney Crosby going to get traded? Is he going to get moved on? There's really been nothing concrete to lead anyone to believe that he would request a trade. It's going to be up to his decision at the end of the day, regardless. But he holds so much value in being a Pittsburgh Penguin. He's closing in on a handful of Mario Lemieux records, one of them being total goals scored. So I think that means a lot to him. And he's just begun now his 19th season as the captain of the Pittsburgh Penguins. That ties Steve Yzerman for most in NHL history. But again, these tournaments, I think, benefit players like Sid, but especially Sid, because if the Penguin season isn't as going as competitive as they've hoped, believe me, had a blast last night, 3-0 win over the Rangers. But if the season doesn't quite continue that direction, it gives an opportunity for Sidney Crosby to scratch that competitive itch. And he mentioned it last year, as I kind of previously mentioned. During the Four Nations, he didn't take a break, right? He went from, as the season went along, to jumping into the Four Nations, to concluding the season, and then even continuing on in the summer, just maintaining his schedule and his rhythm. And he said that was such an important aspect for his lifestyle heading into this year. So I think all of that just gets amplified this year with it being the Olympics rather than Four Nations. And Four Nations was basically an appetizer to kind of entice the hockey community and the sports community to see what they can benefit from the Olympics on the hockey stage. But he's the best leader in hockey, and that's why he's Captain Canada once again. Even Connor McDavid, who arguably probably the best hockey player out there right now, has said, of course, Sidney Crosby would be the captain. Why wouldn't he be? And, the top line last year in the Four Nations was Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, and Sid and MacKinnon are our childhood friends, or at least come from the same hometown, I should say. And even Sidney Crosby mentioned, man, these guys are really fast. I feel like I can keep up. I feel like I'm having a blast, but man, these guys are very fast. And I feel like the rosters that were built last season just show exactly what all these NHL athletes are capable of when you really put on the best of the best. The NHL playoffs are a wonderful spectacle. They captivate a lot of people throughout the summer, but The Olympics is almost that intensified and consolidated with, again, the best of the best on the biggest stage fighting for their country. So, yeah, it's going to shore up for a very exciting 3 weeks in February.
I like the idea of Penguins fans rooting for Canada, at least for Sidney Crosby. I mean, that's going to happen in every city too, right? You're going to have players on your team that are playing for Sweden. You're going to have them playing for, various other countries. So, that's always fun to kind of have a guy on the other side that you might be rooting for if things go south for your team.
Honestly, a lot of that happened last year, even though it was Canada and US for the, I believe it was still a gold medal matchup for the final game, or at least the Four Nations Championship. But yeah, but that's what's fun about it, right? You can almost put on any game and you recognize a player, maybe not from your team, but a team that you're familiar with. And when you get a high quality player on your country that also is on your team, that's when it gets really good. I know a lot of Chicago fans were super thrilled with Patrick Kane on Team USA back in 2010 and 14.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch Americans, the people in Chicago rooting for Austin Matthews, in the Olympics. Anyways, I mean, the Four Nations was a success, right? I mean, the NHL would deem it to be a success. It drew a lot of eyes. I mean, there was incredible prime time. It was in prime time. There was incredible drama, USA versus Canada. I mean, overall, that was an appetizer for what we should be seeing next, right?
I almost think that it may have gone better than they even expected, or maybe even hoped for. I mean, it all comes to fruition when USA and Canada meet up in the championship. But prior to that, in one of the preliminary rounds, I mean, the three fights that happened in the opening minute, I understand, hockey's kind of got that novelty aspect with keeping fighting in the game, but that's Brandon Hagel and Brady Tkachuk saying, "Hey, let's really put hockey on the map. Hey, let's really draw some eyes here. Let's do this for our sport, for our countries." And the fans really gravitated to it. And it was, how could you not? Just sparks flying in the early going. And then the championship game was perfect. It was down to the wire, and Connor McDavid ends up finishing it. Maybe not perfect for USA fans, but yeah, again, best of best too, right? Like Erik Karlsson, who plays for Team Sweden here, that plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins, had a phenomenal tournament. He didn't have a great year with the Penguins last year, but he had a phenomenal tournament because that's kind of his more style of play. Fast pace, even though he's a defenseman, moving the puck up quickly. But that's because everyone around him is able to just go at full speed and at a moment's notice. So it's fun. It's unique. Not other sports. I know you get, basketball in the Summer Olympics, but it's still not the same. At least there's not the same kind of competition. So I think that's what separates hockey from other sports in the Olympics. And again, it draws in the already previous audience you had that pays attention to the NHL, now gets to pay attention at a different spectacle.
France is going to be competing this year. Russia is not. Russia is still having its issues with not being allowed athletes under the flag. So they are not even going to be bringing a hockey team. What they were not, Russia was not in the Four Nations anyways. There are obviously still a lot of Russian players in the NHL. Are they treated the same? Are they treated fairly? I mean, I kind of want to know what that relationship's like. I mean, does it matter? Is hockey hockey and they don't care about politics? Or have you noticed maybe a decrease in the number of Russian players, or maybe they're treated poorly among the fans?
Not so much a decrease in players, but I mean, there's definitely an aspect. I don't know too much about the political side, so I don't want to act like I do. But, just last year or 2 years ago, the Chicago Blackhawks had the number two overall pick, and they were looking at a guy, Ivan Demidov, that was there to be had at the number two overall pick, and they went with Artem Levchinov. And Demidov was from Russia, and there was some speculation about, would he be able to come over to the U.S. in a timely manner? When would he be able to come over in a timely manner? I don't know if that played into the Blackhawks going with Artem Levchinov instead of Demidov. In fact, there was a report later on that the Blackhawks general manager, Kyle Davidson, was having a deal in the works to acquire both. So probably would put that argument to rest, but it was still talked about. In terms of, players and, feeding into the political side of things, they typically try not to, right? They don't want to get too much into the weeds of it because I feel like they need to be limited with what they say, but also they would just rather not. But like you said, hockey's hockey. It doesn't affect, coaching decisions. It doesn't affect playing time. Evgeny Malkin, is in his final year of his contract here with the Penguins and just started his 20th season with Sidney Crosby and Chris Letang, a trio of teammates that's never been before seen in North American sports. So, he's still part of the pulse of the Pittsburgh Penguins, just like Sidney Crosby. So not too much of a factor, but it is kind of a bummer that those guys don't get to be showcased in the Olympics, because that's a big chunk of the high quality talent in the NHL, Artemi Panarin being another one.
Well,
Igor.
let me ask you this. If I'm reading correctly, and US Canada seem to be, or Canada US seem to be 1-2 as far as the favorites in this tournament, if Russia is playing in the Olympics, if it's Russia instead of France, does that kind of tip the scales a little bit? Does that make it a little bit more of an interesting of a tournament?
Definitely more than France. I don't know if I'm willing to go ahead and say Russia would be upsetting teams, but yeah, I mean, anything can happen, right? I mean, Team USA didn't even get to the gold medal game in 2014. I forget who Canada may have lost to, actually. It may have been Finland or Sweden. I mean, Sweden's got a great team. Finland's got a lot of talented players, but yeah, Russia would be right up there as well with most of them. So, yeah, it would definitely increase the level of play, the level of competition, if Russia would be able to compete. And honestly, I've heard the argument, are we really going to be ending political disputes by allowing or not allowing the Russians to play? I would think not. I'm not trying to make it trivial or anything like that, but it's sports, just let's put this on the side and allow it for the greater good. But clearly that's not the case right now.
We know of six players that have made Team USA. They're on the roster. Part of it is because these players obviously played in four nations, I believe, and are leaders in the NHL, and they're kind of no-brainers. Another reason is they want to get these names out there so they can entice people, they can get some sponsorship deals. We've got the Team USA Media Summit coming up in a couple weeks, so they want to make sure that they've got access to them, at least some names. But the rest of the roster probably won't be filled out, it doesn't sound like, till January. That's a lot of hockey between now and then. Potential injuries, other issues that might crop up. How do you kind of envision this roster forming? Is it going to be very similar to Four Nations, or is this going to be something that's going to be relooked at? I don't even, to be honest with you, I have to look up who the head coach is.
It's Mike Sullivan,
Okay.
former Penguins head coach, and he was the head coach of Four Nations last year. And actually, his entire staff, I believe, is the same as well. But yeah, with Team USA announcing Jack Eichel, Auston Matthews, Brady and Matt Tkachuk, and Charlie McAvoy, usual suspects, make total sense. But in terms of the roster configuration, I imagine it'd be pretty similar to Four Nations, because not only is it a year removed and are those players still up there to be the best, but they kind of got a better idea of how they would fare in high quality competition like that. But I'm sure Chicagoans would love to hear that, if Patrick Kane has a good year, might he return to Team USA's roster? But the tricky thing is, yeah, you're going for the best players, but you also have to find the best players that work together. We learned that in 1980, right, with Miracle on Ice, when Herb Brooks put together a roster and, was getting criticized about how it was put together with guys who they had thought were the best players available. But Herb Brooks said, "I'm not trying to build the best team, I'm trying to beat the Russians." And that's what he ended up doing. So, there's an aspect to that when putting together this roster, but politics, sports politics at least, come into play too. One guy that might be on the fringe is Brian Rust, Notre Dame product. He's with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Mike Sullivan, the head coach for Team USA, probably has a soft spot in his heart for Brian Rust, who he won two cups with and has really worked with a chip on his shoulder throughout his entire career. He would love nothing more than to represent his country in the Olympics this year. So it's stories like that that will maybe move the needle a little bit to see who makes the roster and who doesn't. But again, the job is to win gold, right? And it's a quest for gold, exactly as your podcast speaks. So it's not just a showcase tournament, right? It's not an all-star game, which is exactly what the NHL is trying to deviate from. It's a chance to win on the highest stage at the highest level. And for a lot of players for the highest moments in their lives. So that's why you got to put together the right roster, not necessarily the best one.
You don't see any players declining an invitation to a team, do you? I mean, it is 3 weeks in the middle of the season.
Yeah, but I mean, how do you decline when everyone who I just mentioned on Team USA is
Yeah.
already slated to the roster? I think you'd have to be foolish or have a very good reason to. Let's put it this way. If I found out someone was declining, I would need to know immediately why and
Yeah.
investigate it a little bit more.
It's a little different than basketball because basketball season, it's the end of the season, and if
Right.
you've got someone like Steph or LeBron James and they're hobbled, you know, at the end of the season, Kawhi Leonard we saw was fully on Team USA, and then we don't know if it was his decision or management's decision, but shut it down, even despite being on the roster. So this comes in the middle of the season. So it's and on top of that, making it interesting as well is they basically are going to get thrown on the ice together for what, maybe a week before they head out there.
Sure. Yeah.
So you've got to gel, you've got to mold. So maybe what you're saying as far as this roster goes, these players having played, and by the way, I wanted to throw Quinn Hughes also on this Team USA team as well. You know, just experience together, I think, probably helps as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And to kind of go back to your earlier question too about players declining, I should mention that a health status could come into play as well, because if you can't compete at 100% in the Olympics, you know, is it worth it to play those 2 to 3 weeks and possibly put the rest of your season in jeopardy? We kind of saw that last year in the Four Nations with Matthew Tkachuk, who was, you know, borderline game ready heading into the final game, and it cost Team USA a roster spot because he didn't play much. But he at the time, you know, it's a game time decision. How do you tell a player of that caliber, no, you're not going out on the ice and representing your country? But it may have cost Team USA for that final game. You know, it's easier in hindsight to play Monday morning quarterback, if you will, and make those corrections. But that does play a part in it as well. But you know, the Olympics don't happen every year, so I understand why players and just definitely want to take advantage of the opportunity and represent their country when they have a chance, because there might not be another one.
What does that 3 weeks do to the season? Are the games compressed? Is the season going to go longer? Did it start earlier?
It gets pretty much compressed. I haven't mapped out all the semantics, but I know once the Olympics conclude at the end of February, the season typically ends around April 16th, 17th, 18th, right around that time. From whatever the date is, February 28th to the end of the regular season, the Penguins pretty much have a game every other day. And there's, I think, one span of 2 days without a game, and then many of back to backs. So it is consolidated on the back end. I mean, next year the NHL schedule is expanding to 84 games, you know, from 82 to 84. So obviously not being factored in with the Olympics next season, but yeah, you got to play a little catch up towards the end. And that's the other hectic, crazy thing about it, is there's a lot of teams fighting for a playoff spot. There's teams trying to gain as many points as they can, or you know, start their momentum before the Stanley Cup playoffs begin. So it's a pretty intense time in the hockey community once that Olympic break starts. It'll be nice for us on the team side of things, you know, get to kick our feet up for a little bit, but it'll be really go time after
Oh, I'm sure with a newborn on the way, you'll totally be
that.
able to kick your feet up. By the way, Joe, when you're awake at 3 in the morning with your child, maybe you can watch these games live because
Hey.
I'm seeing like 6 hour difference between Pittsburgh and Milan, 7 hour difference for us here in Chicago. So I'm sure some of these game times are going to be a little early or late depending on where you're at.
For once, the time changes are benefiting me, and I couldn't be more happy for
Nothing better than a crying baby in the morning to give you an excuse to watch
it.
hockey, right?
Absolutely, honey. I got to take care of this. I'll be
I got it.
downstairs.
Exactly. Fantastic. Joe, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Hopefully, we can check in maybe when we get closer to it.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, Rye. Always a pleasure.
We'll be talking hockey quite a bit in the coming weeks, both men's and women's. The Milan Cortina Olympics is just 17 weeks away. We'll see you here next week for another episode of Quest for Gold.